Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Ah, starting a new year with our admirable friends.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This is Buddy and Alex and Carol. 2015.
It is.
Take one.
Yes.
This is it. It's all going downhill, right? The 2015, it's over after this.
We missed you last week. If you happened to tune in live, it wasn't live. It was a tape of a previous. We actually ran back-to-back generosities and finished up the season with another generosity. We actually were visiting in-laws, folks in Florida area.
So
we were away for a week and had a wonderful, actually a great time with our...
We had a really nice time.
Visiting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed my holiday too. Even though it wasn't anything but in the confines of my own home, it's the first time I can say we really found a way to kind of transpose ourselves into a vacation type atmosphere.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do when you're at your own location, but...
Did you guys run into anybody that were saying, boy, I'm glad the holidays were over, behind, to get those behind us?
Yeah, me.
No.
That's terrible.
No, it was, I mean, there's people who just, they look exhausted. They look like the holidays just drained them, beat them up, I guess, you know, in that old, sometimes vacations don't seem like vacations because you're all worked up and got to work twice as hard when you get back. And
yeah, and you're meeting people or family that you hadn't, extended family that you hadn't seen in a while. And
as soon as you go on the trip, you say, well, it's over in 5 days. You just got on the road.
Did that make you feel sad when you heard them say that?
Kind of did, but then I thought, you know, it's, I think the holiday season has gotten out of hand commercially speaking.
I think for some people it can be a little overbearing.
Yeah.
We like to look at the world and think everything is how we see it. And I think sometimes we forget there's people out there without family, and there's people that have gone through very hard times during the holidays, but yet we expect everybody to be joyous and to be in this kind of very cheerful. And sometimes that can be dangerous because then we kind of go about our lives thinking everything's, you know, skipping lollipops in the fields.
Yeah.
And
that's a good point. A lot of people do look at the holidays as they miss their loved ones very much.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's, a sad memory. But in any case today, don't forget, today's subject is on restraint. And in particular, we framed our email blast out and our Facebook post with a question. Got some good response, so we'll read some of that response. But the basic question for tonight's show is, does your New Year's resolution involve self-restraint? Restraint is the number 7 or 8 mind quality, correct? And it's the second one under the category of letting go, generosity being the first and restraint. So when we think of restraint, it's almost like, you're walking and there's a stiff wind in your face, or when you're running, you kind of lean forward, right? That's kind of the way I see our draw, or the way we tend to always be leaning towards desires. Our desires are kind of driving us. And restraint is almost standing up straight and pulling back a bit and saying, not quite so fast here. Let's pull back from some of this. So it's kind of a letting go quality. But I find it interesting that right after the holidays, which were supposed to be a period of generosity, where we're letting go, which is one of the let go qualities, and we're supposed to be giving, and it's in the spirit of giving, that everybody just can't wait to exercise a New Year's resolution right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So we're restraining and typically probably overeaten in the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Over everything.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really interesting that we had generosity and restraint the last 2 weeks of the year. I mean, we couldn't have planned it better if we kind of wrote it on the calendar and worked backwards. So it really did work out well and kind of fell into place quite
well.
Insane.
And I think it's really good that it's the beginning of the year to hit the restraint. And I'll tell you why I think so. Because actually to practice with the inner mind qualities and to take on the journey of on the road to reliable happiness, it does involve an overall restraint. I mean, what we're saying as admirable friends participate in this journey is that we're choosing to restrain from ordinary short-term happiness, in particular the passion associated with that, all the time wanting, and all the stress that accompanies that emotion. We're overall saying we're going to shift some emphasis here to the inner qualities of mind. So what a great way to start the year, just kind of almost, starting over, so to speak.
Yeah, I really think this quality at the beginning of the year allows us to breathe a little bit at a time where we need it. If you think of things in that whole year scape, it's a long haul to make it 365 days. And if you start off really wound up tight out the gate, I think you kind of burn yourself out.
I would say that.
And so the restraint isn't necessarily a, lock yourself in a room and keep yourself away from all the bad things you perceive. It's kind of a trigger to become more aware of the things that are just out of control a little bit.
It's more measured. Wouldn't you say it's a more of a calibration?
Yeah, it's saying let's look at the areas in which maybe are just a little out of control. Maybe we're on too much of an autopilot in these sorts of ways, and restraint just kind of says, hey, let's keep it within some limits here. You know, let's tone it down and see where we can...
Well, we couldn't exist without restraint.
No, well, I mean, we were talking about it earlier on the subtle level. We have societal norms in place that help us restrain on a daily basis. Laws, for instance, are to
give... Speed limits.
Speed limits are set up to keep us in sort of a, don't go 20, 30 miles over.
There's consequences associated with it.
Keep it in here, and so keep it under. And so we do these sort of things in restraint. We know that, having 56 ounces of a steak might just put you in the hospital. And so we naturally just don't do it. It's not anything we have to really sit and
think
about.
So restraint is not foreign to us.
It's not foreign to us.
As a beneficial concept. But I'll just kind of bring up to you that the opposite of restraint would be addiction.
Correct.
And our society is full of addiction.
Exactly.
So let's put things in context. We value
restraint. Restraint has a bad rap.
It has a bad rap because, we're very much, I think, caught on the American way of the pursuit of happiness. And I find nothing wrong with the pursuit of happiness as the American way. It's just which kind of happiness are you pursuing?
Mm-hmm.
Where does that happiness lie? I think it's got into a point where the producers of our happiness, the advertisers and the large companies, are having a lot to say about what is our happiness. Now, of course, we're playing a role in that too, as consumers. One thing I found interesting, and I was talking to someone about the issue of the inner mind and the committee of the mind and what role it plays in restraint and overall reliable happiness. But, we know there's lots of thoughts up there and lots of conversations going on, but there's two principal conversations or two points of view. One is what I would call the consumer of the happiness, and the other is the producer of the happiness. The consumer saying, I want this, and the producer turns around and goes out and gets it. Is that two things that you guys can identify, the consumer and the producer in your world? The consumer says, this is what I want, and the producer goes out and does what it has to get it done. So there's two community members we know for sure, mm-hmm. The consumer and the producer. So let's take an opportunity to put our consumer hat on right now, and let's go down the determination line and start at the very beginning with what kind of happiness are we interested in consuming? If it's our life, each one of us on the road here, what kind of happiness are we interested in consuming? And that's where on the website, and by the way, if you want to join the live chat, it's bbsradio.com/admirablefriends. But we're particularly going on the social network, the Admirable Friends social network now. And we're going to look at what's publicly posted under the determinations, the overall determinations. Let's see, we've got the first of seven have been publicly posted.
Well, first of all, should we go over the vision of what the...
Yeah, there's basically three components of a determination, an overall determination, which is your overall life mission, so to speak. There's the vision of what it is we're creating, and then there's the purpose of why we're doing it, and then, of course, lastly, is the values that we support to do it. First, Alex, you want to take the first one?
Sure, I'll take it. Just to add in there, the term determination, when we were, you posed the question to everybody about resolutions and kind of in the scope of restraint, I see resolutions as kind of determinations.
Yeah,
kind of setting off the get-go.
Absolutely, that's why I wanted to bring it up. Same thing.
So,
it's a goal, it's a resolution.
Right.
We use the word in the 10 mind qualities of determination.
Exactly. So that's why we're focusing on. I just want to make that.
Right.
The first one here, the vision. This individual, they would, you know, they put a significant life, an internally fulfilled life, and a life of contribution.
I like the, let's read the whys. Why does this person want to do it?
The person wants is, I want to live a life that not only have I built a career in which I have achieved my goals, but that my success has allowed me to help those who I care about to improve the quality of their life also. Very nice.
Very nice.
So, you know, this person's determination, I think, is a very strong one because it's not it's not directed at themselves. You know, it's kind of a means to the end.
Yeah.
That they want themselves to be achieving their goals because those goals are tied to others. And by achieving those goals, others can come along as well. So,
okay. Carol, you want to take a crack at the second public determination that's been posted?
I'm going to go, actually, to the third one.
You sure?
Yeah. Want me to go to the second one?
Okay.
To reduce suffering and develop equanimity during my current life.
It's an internally fulfilled life is the vision of what they're trying
yes.
to create, right? And their purpose is to reduce suffering and develop equanimity during my... Well, that's a short statement, but it's full of packing, isn't it?
Well, because they chose the internally fulfilled life with the vision that, with the hope that I had developed internal qualities of heart and mind and helped others with the same, with the hope that the mind qualities are of use in the next life. And so the purpose was to reduce the suffering and develop
yeah.
equanimity.
That's nice. Here's another one that has an internally fulfilled life. And out of the four choices, living an internally fulfilled life can ultimately allow me to also have a pleasurable, significant, and contributive life. So the leverage and best chance long-term lies in me shooting for an internal fulfilled life. For those of you that haven't used the system, there's basically, as to the vision, there are four choices that go with the vision. It's a multiple choice question. And basically, we walk the user of the system through. And if any of you can come up with any other option, but as far as, you know, looking back on life, the choices would either be A, a pleasurable life, with basically hoping your memories, your pleasurable memories, exceed those of the unpleasant ones. The second option would be a significant life, and that's with the hope that I'll be remembered for my outward accomplishments. The third would be an internally fulfilled life, and that's with the hope that I had developed internal qualities of heart and mind and helped others with the same. And the fourth would be a life of contribution, and that would be with the hope that others had benefited from my contributions in life. So each person can pick as many of those four as they can and then support their argument with the why. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that seven people have taken the opportunity to publicly post their public. Now, their names, of course, aren't on this, so we have no idea who they are. That's one of the beauties of the system. It has that anonymity. But they have shared with us their choices and their whys and their overall determination. And Alex, I think the reason, and you mentioned this quite a bit, I think the reason why it's good to go through these overall determinations, we know that the chances of meeting a New Year's resolution are not very good.
We were just talking about this, yes.
And I could say it's even higher probability of it not happening if it's not connected with one's overall mission in life.
Absolutely. When we spoke about determination...
You coach a lot of people, right? And they do that. That's...
People know about goals. We either set them, too high and never achieve them, or don't set them high enough. But it's not a matter of high or low. It's, what direction are we going with this? And we're going to have goals for today, goals for the week, goal for the month, goal for years to come. And if those goals aren't tied to an overall determination of the life you want to live, so to say, it's going to be very hard to reach a lot of them, because you're gonna find yourself kind of shooting blind here,
right.
And then that turns into a snowball effect of I haven't reached my goals, I'm not worthy. So I was just telling you about a recent research that was done on resolutions, on New Year's resolutions. And what they were saying was that, the study showed 2,000 people. And out of those 2,000 people that took it, they were saying something like that the high percentage never reaches their goals. But those who do reach their goals have it connected to a larger purpose. And also, even more important to what we just talked about, those seven people that wrote in their determination statistically have a better chance because they've shared their determination openly with others to making that commitment.
It's that social commitment.
It's that social commitment. And that's what the study had showed. So not only the tying to a kind of a larger chain of events. Right. So it's not just a point in time, I want to do this. This is in the process of my higher goal that I want to achieve, and higher determination.
Now that you mentioned that social commitment, Carol, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but you had a great determination this week, and you've already pulled off half of it. And we talked about that social commitment as being a component.
You talked about the challenge, my workout challenge?
Yeah, well, the fasting challenge in particular.
Oh,
can you
yeah.
tell our audience about that?
Well, I was reading this article. I read some European newspapers, and one of them was... over in England, one of the hottest eating plans, how there's Atkins and all that stuff, is the 5-2 fast diet. And so basically what it is you eat your normal calories for 5 days, and on two non-consecutive days, you eat 25% of the calories.
Almost like a fast.
So it's almost like a fast.
For 2 days out of the seven.
Yes.
So you kind of get the benefit of the term fasting, but you really don't have to.
Right, that's what I said.
it's a good example of
right.
restraint.
But it shows restraint.
Right, absolutely.
But what a lot of the people were writing and talking about were, they look at it in terms of it doesn't feel so much like hardship, because it's not like an all or nothing proposition. Like, they figure they can do the 25% of their normal calorie intake.
Right.
And then when it's non-consecutive days, they say to themselves, well, I could do anything for a day.
So which 2 days did you pick this week?
Monday, Thursday.
Okay.
Monday, because it's right after the weekend when you figure you're doing your most.
good day for restraint, kind of like
yeah.
a New Year's resolution.
Yeah, and then Thursday because you're heading into the weekend.
Okay, so you did, and you were successful yesterday with your 25%.
I was.
And I asked you this morning, why were you yet? And remember, we were talking about
okay, you were successful. And you said, I don't know why, it just was easy. It was no problem. And then I said, well, why did that happen? Why was it easier? And I said, did you think having us discussing it?
Yeah, probably.
I remember you sharing it with our family, the idea of it. So there is some sticking power there when you put yourself out there that you're saying, you know, I'm doing this,
well,
and I'm letting you all know. So you're actually asking for a little bit of help from others, saying, you know, keep me honest, because
the humility side.
Well, and I knew that I was going to be accountable, and that I'd have to answer to somebody, you know, namely you, bud. When I'm not home.
I was going
to
say, so, you know, in this family, hey, anybody so, letting
but,
you off.
But the, wouldn't you know that yesterday at work, at lunchtime, they ordered pizza. Now, pizza is like next to donuts.
Now we're talking restraint. Here we go.
So, and I brought my salad. And so I found myself saying, and I'm thinking to myself in my head, this person's saying no thank you, but inside the head saying, you're crazy. What were you thinking?
You know, pizza looked good.
Mm-hmm. And I sat with four other women at the table. They were all eating their pizza, and I had my salad. And it was just, it was crazy, but at the same time, I felt really like I had accomplished something.
Okay, Alex, I'll give you a quiz. Besides, you know, you're not going right. But besides the fact that this diet,
no answer,
in the course of a week, this diet, the concept behind this diet is you restrain 2 days a week and you cut to 25% of what you would have had on 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
All things being equal, you go through the week with less caloric intake, which should produce the desired results, right? Maybe knock it off a pound or two. What extra benefit, with the theme of tonight's show, restraint, are we getting with that kind of diet, besides losing the weight, which would be the obvious benefit? What's the secondary benefit?
I think,
Carol, you could throw this one too.
I thought you kind of touched on it. And chances are, and I'm just going to put it out there to anybody listening right now, that this is guaranteed to be a wrong answer.
Because I always
think. Because I think in my 30 years, I don't think I've ever answered one of your questions correctly. Even though in my mind, each one has been answered 100%. But I'll take a crack. I think Mom just spoke to it, where it's that kind of euphoric feeling of that you've done something that you used to perceive that you couldn't, or that isn't typical, that you... that you kind of went outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderment. You don't know what it's a wild card, isn't it?
Right.
When you all of a sudden say no to something, you don't know, for instance, whether the next day or the next day you lose your appetite because you turned around and experienced, wow, it wasn't bad with 25%. Maybe I'm eating more than I really need to, right?
So. But another thing that I really found out is discernment came in, because I knew that I could only have 25% of my calories.
Yes.
And so then I was more focused on, okay, what am I going to bring for lunch and when am I going to eat?
So it's quality over quantity.
Yes.
It forced you to really get quality.
Yes. Because I knew that it had to sustain me.
Very interesting.
You know, I have an interesting question for the two of you.
I mean, wait a minute. I just want to put a disclaimer out there. I'm not advocating this eating lifestyle.
Well, that's where I was getting to here.
Well, she's only one day through it.
I know.
We
just found it interesting.
The turn to this new diet, because I've been with you guys for quite a little while, and we've gone through some diets together. I mean, we can name them off right here. So the act of instilling this new diet, where'd that come from? Where was that?
Mom read about it in the European papers.
But what was going on? What was going on with you to say, I want to go try this out, or we need to do something?
Personally, I look for any opportunity for restraint. Restraint has been a way for me.
So if I came out with a meal plan that said I'm only
How many times have you seen me fast a day?
Yeah,
I do it all the time. I don't eat for a whole day.
I think he was fascinated by the concept of it.
I love restraint. I love the monks. They don't eat afternoon. Every day,
right,
they don't eat afternoon. They call it the French diet. They don't eat afternoon. They never gain any weight because they restrain, and they learn a whole lot about. To me, when you say no to something, you learn what human capacity. The pleasures get realigned. You know, they get realigned.
But isn't any diet an act of restraint? Maybe not this one specifically, but any diet you instill is.
Well, I guess the term diet, to the extent you're watching calories,
right?
It's like a speed limit. You're paying attention to what you're putting in your mouth. So I would imagine, yes, it's restraint. But I like radical restraint. I like going on retreats. I like, You know, I like shocks to my system.
Mm-hmm. I do not.
Yeah, no.
I like the you know, the middle of the road.
Ease on into it.
Yeah, I just wanted to slide down.
0 to 60.
I like the deep end of the pool. You like working your way through.
Yeah, I'll start at the kiddie side and work my way.
Dip a toe in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good, but I thought, this is not a dippy toe pool. I mean, this
this was good. And I just, like you said, it was the wonderment. I was more of kind of like, well, that's interesting, a lot on that day. So
I think if you stick with it for a while, I think you're going to find that that diet has a good principle associated with it. As I said, when you read it to me, I said, that sounds very
I like it because it's a nice interrupt.
Well, it already forced you to quality.
Uh-huh.
It already brought you to a point, to me, of waking you up and letting you indicate what your tolerance is. I mean, was it that bad that you didn't eat the pizza after it went by?
Not at all.
So you did witness the impermanent nature of your desires,
mm-hmm.
right? They were there. You felt them. Oh, wish I had the pizza. Then it's gone. And I'll bet you that afternoon the pizza thought a pizza was gone.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
So again, you get a chance to witness the impermanent nature of your desire.
Yeah, I kind of see it as an evolution, though, of your all's diets. I mean, you're all very educated on food in general, more so than I am. And so I think getting to this process is, from my observation, is kind of an evolution of where you've come from.
Yeah, we did more after the kids were grown up, Alex. I mean, in fairness, you're growing up children right now. It's really hard to maintain quality food diets. I mean, once the kids were grown up, you and I, Carol, really turned towards nutrition.
Right. I think we had more time. I think time is a factor.
Just the two of us. Just the preparation of the meals alone.
Exactly. You know?
There's bad habits that go, and you're already busy with children, and I think our concern for nutrition came later in life. But I still think that all of your basic emotional problems surround food. I think just like the mind feeds on thoughts and ideas and people it likes and things it doesn't like, the feeding is analogous to the way that you hover around food.
Well, it's the fuel. It's the fuel of the car. And, you know, you put the wrong fuel in the car, you're going to end up on the highway 20 miles down the road. So,
well, you know, my philosophy is that all of our problems result from the greediness, misuse, you know, and even the anger and hatred that we generate towards others is a result of us wanting something more than we deserve.
And I think that all comes back to what we're talking about with restraint today, because that's why it's such a letting go, is because we get out of that that greediness, that kind of, we know, and so it allows us to kind of say within limits. You know, bring it back.
I don't think it's a bad word, too, to say that you've misused greed. I mean, like I said, if the consumer inside of you is not aligned with an overall determination, say, this is what's important to me, then you've basically taken that consumer and put it in the hands of the advertisers and the commercials. So walk into Walmart, you got 27 choices of peanut butter,
mm-hmm.
and start there, and your life is very confusing when you just went in to buy peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go right down the aisle between anything you're purchasing, and there's just too many choices, and those producers know it. They're putting stuff in the aisles to where it gets you excited. So
if we've got two items to get in the store, my wife is in the car, I say, you stay here, this is a job for me.
Yeah.
I'm in and out, because she'll come out with bags. What did you come? It's, you know, once you're in there, it's the eyes open up, and it's, yeah.
It's like, well, I need that. No,
right.
I forgot I need that.
Yeah. The most highest profitable items are there at the checkout, so they purposely slow the aisles down, so you're buying that crap on the way out the door.
Yes.
I mean, it's all engineered. So if you don't have an overall determination, say, this is the kind of happiness I'm looking for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you don't align your consumer to say, okay, this is my personal demand for my happiness, then the producer is basically anything that's put in front of your nose. You're a Pavlovian dog, and the bell goes.
Right.
So,
You know, we were talking about determinations, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I always find like I really fall short when I have doubt. It was like, duh, that's the opposing quality to determination. It's doubt and determination, isn't it? It's like,
Why is that? Well, no, but that's a good point. Where's the doubt come from? You know, if you're not willing to put your stake in the ground, and you have doubt, it's because your past has basically said that I haven't been able to set and realize goals.
But it could be that you didn't have the right determination. It couldn't have been that you didn't have the want. It was just the how.
Yes, correct.
For me, it's like...
What's the problem?
I'm saying
so. Did you listen to the determination podcast before coming?
No, that's spot on. Yeah. I agree
with
you.
But I was sitting here and it was like one of the doubts, the opposite of determination. But that's what I'm thinking. It's like...
But the cause of doubt has to do with your past determinations not being pulled off.
Correct.
So you got to drill down and say, well, why am I pulling them off? I mean, the idea of just giving up on goals, that isn't going to work either. I mean,
yeah,
no, that doesn't work.
I mean, I've heard that as a joke. People say, if you don't set any goals, you achieve them all or something to that effect.
So you have to get goals. And if you're not achieving goals, you've got to ask yourself why. And I think we've touched upon some key elements here. Obviously, we have to surround ourselves with people that are willing to support us, right? That's the whole concept of admirable friends, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, the goal should be measurable, small, written down and tied to an overall determination. So there's our advice for the show for the New Year's resolution, CSI. And they should include an element of restraint.
Well, it kind of works.
Because you can't have it all.
It kind of works in this three very cyclical way where the first is you reflect and you kind of bring yourself inwards and say, well, what sort of determinations am I looking for ultimately? And then,
which is your eulogy, right?
And then, once you find that, relating that with others strengthens the determination, and then kind of builds upon it. So now you've got some foundation there. You've got your support vehicle. You know what you're doing, and then you kind of get to this renew, you know, where you're working through it, and you kind of get to the goal, and you go through it, and then once you achieve that. You end up right back where you started. Where now I got to
write that down. You see the idea? He called it reflect, relate, and renew.
Yep. And it just keeps going right.
Wait
on.
A minute. Let me get my pencil and paper. Hold on.
Because once you've reached the determination goal, now you've got to pause and look at that.
Okay. So before we take a break here, I want to leave our listeners with that one thought while they're listening to the break. To start a good New Year's resolution, we start with reflection,
mm-hmm.
which is the eulogy. We relate with others, share our thoughts and ideas.
Studies have proven.
Right. And then we renew and start again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break now.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is, what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
And we're back.
And today's topic is excess and restraint. And
one of those gangbuster kind of topics that everybody...
It is. I mean, actually, restraint is not a dirty word.
We have it as actually the positive side versus the excess.
Well,
so restraint for us is a good thing.
Well, restraint doesn't mean just say no. What we're trying to do is flip ourselves, each one of us in our practice, towards restraining from the sensual, the external, short-term, addictive type choices to the inner qualities of mind. So it's not that we're giving anything up. We're just trading candy for gold, the way I see it.
And I think that's why the word restraint has gotten such a bad rap, because it's associated with, like, just
Oh, you think it's just a word, that's why it's got a bad rap. It's not the greed that we've all lived
through. No, it's right. No, what I was ready to say was that it has an element of suffering with it. It's like I have to strip myself bare and not have anything.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, you know, it's
so
an all or nothing proposition.
I get what you're saying. Yes, absolutely.
So that's why I think it gets a bad rap, because restraint shows no. Like when you said as a kid, no, you can't have that. Mm. It's like...
So we should call it trade or something, because it's really trading one pleasure
no,
for another.
No, don't you think?
I think you're right. No, I think
yeah, and like I said, I think we look at these words and we think, oh, God, restraint, that's tough. And we immediately, like you said, go to the negative side of restraint when others have told us no or to stop, right?
Well, that's the
but yet we're telling ourselves this intuitively all the time. You know, when you've had too much TV, right, and you say, gosh, my eyes need a break, and you step away from it, that's an act of restraint. You're saying the limit, I've reached its limit, and it needs to come back, right? I need to come back.
Well, how do you get that awareness?
And that's another point we were talking about, was that restraint, you know, isn't merely one of these light switches that you just kind of click on and off. It's got to be cultivated a little bit, because how do you know when to restrain?
Right.
You have to kind of be there.
There's two mind qualities that have meditation as a adjunct to them, and that's restraint and equanimity.
It's going to cause...
You need the base to slow down. So you establish,
right.
And again, whatever meditation you're using, most of them have in common that you're getting more familiar with your body, and that's your grounding, and a base from which you can say, should I or should not? Should I say no? So
It's like going back to your example. At least you have the wherewithal. You shouldn't get to the point where your eyes are hurting from watching TV. There should be a certain amount that you say.
Yeah. Being aware of the fact that things kind of getting out of control here, time to kind of rein in
a little bit.
But like you said, you have to be there to be able to see it. And we already know that we're not always there. We already know that we get into these autopilot kind of modes.
Which gets back to the greedy and the want.
It gets them all back to that. So we need to, in essence...
you're so busy wanting, and you're so...
Train ourselves in a certain way. And so that's where I like seeing the benefit in things like meditation and other techniques that bring you closer to understanding your own body, your breath, your own...
And again, that works for you. A lot of our listeners don't necessarily meditate. They can exercise restraint and just making better choices when they trade to inner mind qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, though, I think you're right, Alex, when you do enter a practice like that on a regular basis, not only do you cultivate a ritual, which is a discipline that's important in your overall development, you do start becoming more familiar with just your body and your quiet space, which is where you make your best choices from.
The act itself is an act of restraint, because it's not natural to say, it's not...
The first thing,
I don't wake up and say, oh, I want to be still. I want to just go and be with myself. That takes an act of restraint to say, you know what? I know the benefit. If I take some time out to understand myself, and I do that consistently, consecutively, that's gonna correlate to a better...
It reaps benefits, for sure.
Better awareness and understanding, and I'll be able to restrain from those things that are taking away from my overall determinations. So,
before we go into the actual letters that were written in on the restraint, let's go through the gratitudes that were posted online this week, and just read a couple of the public gratitudes. I'm gonna grab one here while you guys
are bringing
up. Yeah, I'm gonna go to gratitudes. I've got one here. Patient and kind during our flu shots. I trust their intentions. I know they went out of their way. Best shot experience ever for my little son. Okay.
I've got one here. Provided care for pets while we were out of town. It turned out to be a last minute request, but he was quite generous in his willingness to help, as he definitely had to go out of his way.
And again, a gratitude is recognizing a kind action of another, that you're grateful for. So with hope that you are learning from that action. And that's why the reflection piece is there. Alex, you got one?
I got a good one here. And this is this kind of combines too. This is really, well, it's all kind of under the act of generosity. There's an act of generosity within this gratitude. So the action this individual is speaking of is, I assume somebody shot a video on how to use a paint gun. And they know they went out of their way. And when they reflected on it, they said, it's amazing how people take the time to just help without asking for anything back.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you know how many YouTube videos are out there of people that just shot that YouTube?
It's amazing.
Right? It is, that they went out of their way and say, this is a paint gun I bought. And here's how it works.
And I tell you, if you get the time to do it, and that's why I think there's, I've been trying to become more and more vigilant and, taking some surveys when customer service is given, or when something's wrong, I go to a YouTube and they tell you how to do it, and writing a nice comment there or saying, yes, this helped me. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this. Doing those sorts of things help perpetuate that sort of actions by people to go and to just, to give, because you can really tell they're doing it for the benefit of others.
Well, it's very generous. I mean, the generosity that's associated with that, because they don't, they help maybe one person, they can help one person, but
right.
You never know how many you're going to reach.
Right.
You don't know where it's going to go.
Right. It's a video,
Yeah, hey, I want to share an act of generosity I did myself, but it wasn't really an act of generosity.
Oh, here we go.
Funny. Mom got to kick off.
Okay.
So I'm going to the drive up this morning before I take it to work.
Drive up where?
To Starbucks.
Okay.
So I make the corner, and there was two car space between this truck and the speakerphone to call in the order, and I noticed the door was open in the truck. And I don't know what the gentleman was doing, so I decided to go around the truck and go into the speakerphone.
Oh, great.
All right. So I did and ordered my drink, and then I saw the truck come on top of me with a beep, and the hands were flashing and everything else. So.
Oh, wait a minute. This is different. I didn't know he beeped.
Yeah, he beeped.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
All right. So I went to the window, and I said to the lady, pay for mine and pay for the guy behind.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
But I knew I was going to sing him.
Right.
Well,
so it wasn't a real act of generosity. I knew I was going to sing and say, hey, buddy, calm down. I just bought you a drink. There's a rotten part of me, isn't there?
I can kind of put myself into that guy's truck there and can kind of see really quick how hot and bothered he was about it, probably steaming. And then as soon as he heard that that cup of coffee was paid for by you, the realization of how silly his mind probably was going about how much he hated you and what he would do after he got his cup and if he pulled, because
yeah,
I've been there before.
That's what I mean. That was my strategy. That's why I wasn't really a gift of generosity. I wanted to say
that, or you saw the shotgun rack in the back of the
truck.
It goes back to that Buddhist story about the fisherman, and it's foggy, and he's rowing his boat, through the fog to get across the river or whatever, and he's working really hard, and then all of a sudden, he sees another boat bang the front of his boat, and he's getting all worked up, what were they doing, somebody could have been hurt, blah, 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 and then he goes to the front of the boat, and he looks over, and there's nobody in the other boat. It had just gotten free from the mooring and accidentally hit his boat. I mean, same thing,
yeah,
right?
How many times
do we get all worked up over that?
You never know.
Anyway.
Okay, well, before we run out of time, let's bring our guests in that anonymously wrote in on their particular, again, the question that was raised to them was, does your New Year's resolution involve self-restraint? Let's read a couple of them. Go ahead, Alex.
I'm going to read this first one. And thank you again for sending these in. These really are great. Sharing this sort of stuff is exactly why we're doing the show in the first place. I think it's great. My New Year's resolution is a bit different than most resolutions, in the sense that I am not focused on a particular result like losing weight or running a marathon. I spent time over the holidays thinking and I resolved to spend more mental energy focused on processes rather than harshly judging results and being hard on myself. This means I need to spend more time recognizing, accepting, and investigating my thoughts and actions, and less time identifying myself with the results and condemning myself for perceived failures. Naturally, I will still examine the results of my actions and look to see if they prove to be skillful or unskillful, but I resolve to be kinder to myself in the thought process. They also put a quote in here, a quote from Carl Jung, has stuck with me lately. Jung said, "Everything that irritates us about others can lead to a better understanding of ourselves." In other words, when we look at the things that agitate us and examine the causes, we gain better understanding of ourselves and learn to make more skillful actions in the future that will not lead us to stress. The writer says, "For me, this involves a lot of self-restraint."
Capital L-O-T.
Yes,
A-L-O-T.
And I'm glad there's a space in between there because it's good
grammar. Words.
"In my autopilot mode, I am prone to be hard on myself, and sometimes I jump to conclusions or ascribe intent where there may not be any. So in order to spend mental energy on examining my thoughts and actions, I need to slow down and take time to reflect. First step, reflect, which incorporates my sitting practice as well as general time for introspection."
Wow.
A lot of meat in there. Very, very good stuff. You know, and this is what I like, you know, when we're talking about resolutions, in my experience growing up, resolutions were a real quick thing. What's the quickest and the easiest resolution I can pick and let me get it over with? When you see something like this, you see that the resolution is more than just picking up.
This is deep.
This is and this is exactly the three-step process we just talked about. They start with reflection, and they go inwards first, and then you can see they've now shared this. Openly. And so I think after this process, this individual is going to begin to actually see it develop and become a real thing. The resolution.
Well, I just found myself thinking to myself, I'm rooting for this person that I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there anything in particular, Carol, that struck you on this letter that jumped out at you?
Well, I think the harshly judging the results of being hard on myself, I can equate, I can empathize with that. And so I like that, you know, spending more time in the mental energy, focusing on the process. And
but it seems like the judging hard on herself, she kind of, not as a she, not, well, we shouldn't even say so, she or he. In any case, it is, do they have a suggestion as to why they're hard on themselves? I am prone. The quote from Carl Jung talks about learning from judging others. And I suppose this person is learning from judging themselves in the same light.
But I like that.
Oh, wait a second. I knew they had an answer to this. This is what I liked. They not only were recognizing that they've been prone to be hard on myself, and sometimes I jump to conclusions or ascribe intent where there may not be any. So in order to spend mental energy on examining my thoughts and actions, I need to slow down. So it's the recipe for judging self too quickly is right there as well. It's not just a wish. Again, it's an outcome supported by a cause. So this person has thought through the causes necessary to affect that outcome.
And I'll just wrap it up here before we get
which
to the
is
next one. I really like the emphasis on process versus result. I think we often, when we set those things, it's, you know, I want to lose weight or I want to do this. And we're so focused on that end result that just like the study said, we don't reach it. And then that becomes more,
it's,
you know, self-hate because we didn't reach what we set ourselves out to.
It's
where
just
if we
a
become,
vicious cycle.
Yeah, if we become more involved in the process, like this writer said, I do the same myself. I'm definitely more involved in the process versus the result because the result will come.
And that's, again, the cause and effect, you know, the mind with cause and effect. And that's that discernment. You got to break it apart,
right?
Break that goal apart. How am I going to accomplish
it? Yeah,
that?
I'm glad this person wrote in.
Thank you very much.
Wish you the best. Wish you the best. Carol, you want to take one?
Sure. I've got one here. I'm carrying into 2015 an ongoing resolution for improving overall health. Of course, this involves trying to look honestly at a lot of habitual behaviors that need to be understood and altered. I'm experiencing that spending some time to contemplate the less than desirable actions is causing the questioning to become more and more part of my thought life. That committee member of the mind is gaining strength. So even when I fail to restrain myself, I can't help but sense some progress, because before those thoughts would have trouble surfacing clearly and loudly.
Mm.
Love it.
Love it.
Once again, you see a lot of the same stuff that an emphasis on reflecting.
The reflecting.
Taking some time. Because doesn't it seem like with resolutions, like you got to start on the first? I mean, if you don't start your resolution on the first, you're behind, because everybody else has started on the first.
But notice both of these resolutions weren't very typical New Year's resolutions. Both of them were a deeper form, very much aligned with our overall program of inner mind qualities.
Go ahead. Sorry to cut you off.
No. I was just saying, once again, it's a lot of the process as well in this one. It's there's not the specificity of saying, you know, I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's the general, it's the improving overall health.
Yes.
And so that can take on
high
many.
High determination, right?
That can take on many, many and all different forms, which is a really nice thing. So
yeah. It looks like the writer understands that, because they're looking honestly at the habitual behaviors that go with that. So it could be, you know, overall health could be a food, it could be an exercise, it could be a physical, it could be a mental. What they're saying is the overall determination is I want to improve my overall health.
Right.
And then they're breaking it down and looking at what sort of skillful behaviors are they going to have to, use, and what sort of things are they going to have to restrain from to accomplish that. Once again, a very, very nice one. I like the theme of it looks like everyone's kind of starting with that reflection period, right? And taking the time. Not just setting one. I feel like that. Like, people hurry at. Like, if you don't set one by the first, you're behind.
It's a great listening audience, boy. Thanks so much for writing this stuff in.
Another one?
Can I take one?
Yeah.
One of my New Year's resolutions is not to purchase any items of clothing, only secondhand. I will use self-restraint to prevent myself from making a impulsive or thoughtless decision that I delude myself into thinking it'll bring me joy. In 2015, I will aim to identify and break the cycles of desire and impulse by breathing, recognizing, and letting go. This will lead me to better decision-making and become more entrenched in my behavior. This is part important because all that I am are my actions. Talk to me again in February with a smile. Alex, that was right up your line. This is obviously a meditator here.
Mm-hmm.
Just something as simple as restraining from clothing, but using the inner development to exercise that restraint is nice.
Well, and they're not saying don't buy anything new this year.
Right.
They're using their restraint and saying, buy secondhand.
Yeah, or don't buy clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
No clothes this year. This is the year of no clothes.
But, you know.
I love that term, cycles of desire and impulse. You know, so there's that feeling, that leaning forward I talked about at the beginning of the show. You know, break that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And doing it by recognizing and letting go, by breathing, recognizing, and letting go. It's a pretty simple formula, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing, recognizing, letting go.
I wanted to throw this in too, is we actually have our own poster boy, so to speak, for restraint. And that's our producer, Doug, at UBS. He has now gone 30 days without smoking. And I think if that isn't an advertisement for restraint and determination and all of what we're speaking about tonight. So a shout out to Doug.
And he was following the steps too. Shared it openly. And
it's inspiring and it's heartwarming and all of the above. So
yeah, it's great. You like seeing those sorts of things because you know what a sort of restraint like that is going to do for his overall health and everything. Like
absolutely.
That.
I think he knows too.
Difficult.
And that's just great.
People do. I mean, I've never smoked, but I know those that have.
When people look at themselves and they really take that step and they say, no, I'm doing this because this means a lot. I mean, it's inspiring, like you said. And, you know, it's just great to see individuals doing that and holding to it. That's a great thing.
Okay,
we've got
90 seconds here. Let's just close each one of us with what restraint means to us. Alex, Carol.
Well, I used to think restraint was going without. And I'm slowly trying to wrap my head around and habitually get into the behavior pattern of trading. So that's it for me.
Yeah, the restraint for me is a, for me it means an opportunity seized. I was there. If I can restrain, that means I saw something. I saw something that was kind of going off the wheels, and I was able to be aware and to have the self-imposition to tell my, you know, to tell myself easy. And that sort of a trigger for me is inspiring to myself to say you can do it.
Excellent. I want to close with a quote from your wife, Alex, who this weekend was over having dinner. And restraint to me has stuck in my head since her observation was, I think it is freedom within constraints.
Yes.
What a great paradox. I'd like to close the show on that. Learn to use the constraints to find the freedom.
Sounds like our marriage.
Thank you, Gabby.
We'll leave that one alone. Take care until next week, and we start next week with endurance. Patience and endurance.
Oh, yay.
Yay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks. Have a good week.
Good to be back.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.